decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel. Good to have you with us here today. Hope your Monday morning is going well. It is Monday. It is the 1st of November as we are continuing to just watch the year fly by, which is not altogether a bad thing. I think a lot of us are ready for 2021 to be over. Kind of like we were ready for 2020 to be over. I want 2019 back. 2019 was a good year. Things were going well. But unfortunately, that is not how things work. These are the times that God has determined that we will live in. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We are not here by accident. And since we are not here by accident, we can go and make the best of what the Lord has given us. Going to talk about evangelism a little bit this week. I was watching the evening service last night from Grace Community Church, and John MacArthur did a live Q&A. They just set up mics at the ends of the aisles, and people come up and ask him questions. And one of the questions was about the fear that the COVID pandemic has instilled in so many people. And I won't argue about whether or not it's really a pandemic. I don't think it is, but that's I think this has been seized upon for political and ideological reasons. But one of the things that MacArthur pointed out that I just thought was so important that I wanted to pass it on to you. He pointed out that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, the writer of the Hebrews points out that it is the fear of death that enslaves the unbeliever. And the fear of death is what has driven the reaction to this current medical situation. When you look at the numbers, you know, you're much more likely to die of something else, but those numbers, that doesn't drive the fear. We have a media that is ginning up the fear of this disease, and I mean, you're a lot safer. You're safer from this virus than you are from, you know, traffic accidents. It's kind of like the lottery, you know. I've heard it said that the lottery is a tax on people who can't do math, and when you look at the numbers, one of the statistics that always, when you look at the numbers of your likelihood to win the lottery, the average American is more likely to be killed by a crashing airplane than they are to win the lottery. Now, understand exactly what I said. I did not say that you're more likely to die in a plane crash. You're more likely to be killed by a crashing airplane, meaning that you're more likely to be walking down the street, minding your own business, and have an airplane crash on top of you than you are to win the lottery. Yet there are millions and millions of people who aren't walking around looking up in the sky in fear for that airplane that's going to crash on them, yet are absolutely certain that the $2 ticket they bought at the mini mart is going to make them millionaires. It's a tax on people who can't do math. Now, your odds of getting COVID are much higher than your odds of winning the lottery, of course, yet your odds of dying for COVID aren't all that high. They're still higher than your odds of winning the lottery. And they're probably a lot higher than your odds of having an airplane crash on top of you. But that's just the way it is. So this fear of death, the verse actually says, I'll back up. It says, beginning in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself," speaking of Jesus, likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. The fear of death causes people to enslave themselves to those who would give empty promises that death could be conquered by any way other than the cross of Christ. So in this climate of the fear of death, the people are open in ways that I'm not sure that we are taking advantage of to the presentation of the gospel. When we say to someone, we could take away your fear of death. We can show you how to have no fear of death. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, as that wonderful hymn says. The Christian doesn't fear death because we know where we're going. We have a Savior. The penalty for our sins has been paid. And so this week I want to talk a bit about evangelism. Evangelism is the sharing of the good news. We get the word evangelism from the Greek word for good news, which is the old English word gospel is the same thing. It's good news. Gospel, I think, is good speech. So we have the good news. What is the good news? Well, to understand the good news, you first have to understand the bad news. And the bad news is that we have all sinned against a thrice holy God, and we are justly under his wrath and condemnation. We're all guilty. There is none who is without sin. Because of that, we are all under a sentence of death. You're going to die, I'm going to die, your next door neighbor is going to die, the person down the block's going to die, the president's going to die, the street sweeper's going to die, everybody's going to die, young and old. The death rate is one per person, and John MacArthur pointed that out last night. We're all going to die. How do we deal with the fear of death? We're all going to die, and we're all going to face God's judgment. And that's what makes the good news so good. God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, came to earth, was born of a virgin, lived the perfect sinless life that you and I cannot live. All the things that we can't do, he did. All the things that we can't resist doing, he didn't do. He did the things he ought to do, and he didn't do the things he ought not to do perfectly, completely for his entire life. Jesus said that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. None of us have done that fully for a microsecond. Jesus did it for his entire life. So he lived the perfect life we can't live, meaning he was sinless. He didn't deserve death. But as the perfect sacrifice, he went to the cross willingly and gave up his life, took upon himself the penalty for the sins of all who would believe in him, and paid for them completely on the cross, so that when we come to Christ through faith, we exchange our sin for his righteousness. Our sin is nailed to the cross. The penalty is paid, and we receive in its place his righteousness, so that we can stand before God blameless. Not because we ourselves are blameless, but because he is blameless and he has gifted us with that righteousness, that perfect righteousness that we could not possibly attain on our own. And that is why it's good news. There's no fear in death if you're in Christ. As Paul said, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? It's not there. I don't know who said it, but it was a wonderful example. Somebody said, for the unbeliever, death is getting hit by a truck. For the believer, death is being hit by the shadow of a truck as it drives by. Wonderful analogy. Yes, we're going to die because we're still in our sinful flesh. Our bodies are subject to decay because of the curse and because of the fall that's on mankind. And so that is the good news. Our bodies die, we go to heaven, and in God's appointed time, we will one day receive glorified bodies that are free of sin, free of decay. I've reached that age where I seriously miss my young body. I miss being able to do things. I miss being able to sleep all night. You don't realize what a blessing that is. But I'm 56 now, and it's not super old, but I'm definitely no longer young. And I rarely sleep an entire night. I have to get up at some point, or I wake up in the middle of the night. And I remember being a kid, going to sleep at 11 o'clock midnight, sleep until noon on a Saturday, and sleeping deep, not waking up. I wish I could do that. There are days it's like, I got nothing going on tomorrow until 2 in the afternoon. I want to sleep in, and I turn my alarm clock off, and I'm up by 6. Even when I want to sleep in. Our bodies are subject to decay. We will receive imperishable bodies, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to receive bodies that are imperishable, bodies that are not subject to decay, bodies that are not subject to death, bodies that are not subject to sin. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like to have all sinful temptation removed, to not struggle with sin anymore. And so as we talk about this, this is the message that we have to share with our friends and our neighbors, our coworkers, the waitress at the restaurant, the barista that gives us our latte. Everybody needs to hear the gospel, the good news of salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So as the week goes on, I hope to present some tips to help us evangelize, some tips to help us share the gospel. And so we'll talk about that this week. Quick programming note. There will not be an episode of Squirrel Chatter on Wednesday. I am driving a bus to the state capitol with some students on it. I have no idea what we're going to be doing there. I don't have the agenda. I have the bus assignment, and I have the departure time. And the departure time is 7 a.m. Well, I do Squirrel Chatter at 7:30. So there will not be a Squirrel Chatter on Wednesday. So mark your calendars. Not going to be doing a best of show, not going to be doing anything. So there'll just be no Squirrel Chatter on Wednesday. So that'll just have to go down into our minds here. Which Bible software is it? Which Bible software did I open? I've got Accordance open. That's why I don't have my Legacy Standard Bible. I have the Legacy Standard Bible in Accordance, and I have the Legacy Standard Bible app, which is Accordance, and I have them both on my computer, on my iPad, because I'm just that way. So we are in the Gospel of Matthew, and I believe we're going to be in chapter 9 today. What did we do on Friday? We did 7 and 8, so we are going to be in 9 on today. It's Monday. Let's begin then with our prayers from the prayers for our Bible study, prayers for our confession, and prayers for our leaders. Before we get to that, just one more thing. I want to remind you that Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian podcast community. So I invite you to head over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, check out all the other great shows that are over there. There's good stuff, and I commend it to you. And so I wish to point that out to you. And with that, let's jump into our prayers and get into our Bible reading. O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States, the governors of the 50 states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, again from the Legacy Standard Bible. And getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were afraid, and glorified God who had given such authority to men. And as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he stood up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the attendants of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine in old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine in fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." While he was saying these things to them, behold, a synagogue official came and was bowing down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be saved from this." But Jesus turned and, seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has saved you." At once the woman was saved from her hemorrhage. And when Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he was saying, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, coming in, he took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And this news spread throughout all the land. And as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all that land. Excuse me. Now as they were going out, behold, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "He casts out the demons by the ruler of the demons." And Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Chapter 10. And summoning his 12 disciples, Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter any city of the Samaritans. But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts." "Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two tunics or sandals or a staff. for the worker is worthy of his support. In whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay there until you leave. Now as you enter the house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you leave that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciples that he became like his teacher. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for an Assyrian? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you for joining with me. I hope you have a wonderful Monday. I hope you have a great week ahead of you. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. Thanks for being with us. Take care. See you tomorrow.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.